Hello, and welcome to Resync, an Assassin's Creed podcast, Season 2, Episode 2, with my fellow host, Lucas.
That's me.
What's up, brother?
A lot. Too much. That's why we're a little late this week.
Yeah, that's true. We are one day late.
I had a pinball tournament because I played pinball. It was state finals, so I would, you know, I had to go. And I sucked, so I shouldn't have gone and just recorded the pot or played my game. But then we had a birthday party.
Yeah.
And I didn't have time to play, so I played today.
Yeah. So we're all caught up now. We're all good to go. But, I mean, at least we didn't push it back a week. You know?
We're trying to be more punctual. Yeah. As non-punctual as we usually are.
Yeah. You know what? For us, it could be worse. Could have been worse, you know? So we're here. We are a day late. Apologies for that. But, it is what it is. But we're back for episode 2, for sequence 2 of Assassin's Creed 2. Oh, lots of 2s today.
Lots of 2s.
But very exciting time. Real quick, before we get into the episode proper, a couple things I wanted to say. If you were confused about why we didn't have an episode in its proper time, well, then your silly little butt should have taken your butt over to Patreon. Because remember, we're trying to make Patreon the official communication hub for the podcast, as you know, everything else is kind of either like our own personal social medias or used for other things, whereas the Resync Patreon is exclusively about this podcast. And even if you don't have any money to spend, there is a free membership of which we put updates up for all of this. And so, you know, I posted about the delay, let people know when this episode would be coming. And so all of that is available on Patreon. You can do it right now. Like I said, it's completely free. There are paid tiers, which gives you access to additional content. But you can join completely free, and it's where we update all this stuff. So definitely go do that if you haven't already. We're really excited to see the growth of that platform and use that as kind of the main hub for this podcast. So really cool stuff, and appreciate everybody who has joined thus far. But, yeah, and then real quick, we've got the trivia question for last week. I asked you guys what the name of the youngest Auditore brother would be, which I also gave away earlier in the episode. I knew about that, but I kind of swept it under the rug and was hoping people didn't pay attention to it. But for my eagle-eyed or eagle-eared fans out there, the youngest Auditore is Petruccio.
Petruccio.
Except now it's Ezio, because Petruccio's fucking dead. So, you know, technically, depending on how you look at it, Petruccio will always be the youngest Auditore now.
Wait. His sister.
Well, it depends. Youngest brother, yes. Youngest Auditore, yeah. But I guess, depending on how you look at it, it would be Claudia. Or you could say it's Petruccio, because he's always going to be like 9 for now.
he's always going to be 9.
he's not going to get any older. So
yeah, sure. He will always be the youngest.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, at least as far as Giovanni's spawn is going to be, you know. I don't know if Maria will ever get up to any more childbearing or not. You know, in her current state, it's not looking likely.
No.
But anyway, getting into it, we'll get into this week's trivia question in a little while. But getting into here, real quick, this is probably, you guys have probably already seen this from sequence one. Well, not from sequence one, but from last week's, as there's a couple of things that happen right at the start of season two before you really have the option to back out. And so right after sequence one, jumping straight into the events of the second sequence, Sean tells Desmond to keep an eye out for strange glyphs in the Animus. There's this kind of like overarching like mic effect, which I don't believe we ever had in the first game. I think they kept that stuff fairly separate as far as I can. Well, there was the very beginning of the game where you kind of have that like connection error and a bunch of weird stuff in the start.
When you get hit and stuff in the first one,
yeah,
it still like it'll like desynchronize you kind of like you get kind of weird.
True, yeah, there's that, yeah. But otherwise, there aren't too many Animus interruptions. I was curious if that was more of like a, like if that was an intentional design thing with like the Animus 2.0, with it not being like this corporate thing and being kind of like this very like outside engineered type thing where they would have a little more like communication access or something along those lines. But yeah, basically Sean's talking about these little glyphs there, you know, that are scattered throughout, these weird glitches in the Animus for Desmond to potentially check out, which I actually did find a couple. We'll get into that in a little bit, but there's some interesting pieces of side content to discover, which I don't remember if I mentioned this last week or not. I feel like I did, but I am going to go for 100% just like I did with the first game, which is a lot easier this time around than the first one. There is a semi-annoying one in the feathers, but there's only 100 feathers to collect versus the 420 stupid fucking flags from the first game. So I am a lot more excited to 100% this one, and also hopefully actually do it this time and not have them despawn like the flags do in the first game.
No glitches.
I told you, Ubisoft, I'm not letting this go. Give me my goddamn trophy. I need it. But yeah, so
yeah.
Still I'm upset about that. Not gonna let that die.
I'm not gonna 100% this game.
But, you know, so yeah, I'm gonna try to find all the glyphs and stuff like that. I have been playing it because you're not really locked out of anything in this game. This one is open world. It's a little earlier in the open world concept, so you know it's difficult to kind of call this open world because it kind of is, kind of isn't. But you're never really locked out of anything. So I'm being a lot less thorough in playing through. I'm kind of like discovering things as I do. I do think that makes for a healthier game experience. I think it doesn't make sense for Ezio to just be like combing over every little bit of the city in the first sequence. Like I just don't think that's very realistic in terms of like a role-playing aspect. So I've just been kind of like doing anything I see along the way. And then like in sequence 13, I'll kind of go and do a bunch of cleanup before we get into the finale of the game. But yeah, I've been having a lot of fun so far. Like I said, I'm doing the side stuff that I can, but there wasn't a whole lot this sequence. This was a bit of a shorter time. And so the last little quick thing before the launch is that Ezio's servant comes up and tells him to meet her at her sister's place to discuss their next steps.
Her sister's place is not what I thought it was.
Yeah. So her sister's place actually turns out to be a whorehouse.
Yeah, a brothel.
So, yeah, her sister is the owner of a brothel, Paola, who actually turns out to be a fucking G. We love Paola. She offers to teach Ezio how to survive after he says he plans to kill Uberto. Basically, like, I want vengeance.
I will teach you.
Yeah, she's like, you know what? Let me give you a few tips real first. And so you got any thoughts on Paola and all that real quick?
She was seductive.
Boobies.
Yeah, she's really trying to get Ezio's pants.
Maybe.
It looked like
Or is
it.
That her charm? I always see her as kind of like a Game of Thrones-ass character.
Just kind of like, I flirts with everybody.
Well, she's like, because, I mean, let's be real here. This is Renaissance Italy.
Yeah.
Which, you know, pre-1950, you know, women were only allowed to do a certain amount of stuff. So, like, you know.
Yeah.
I actually really, really love Paola as a character. I mean, granted, this is kind of like our introduction to her.
Yeah.
And so we've got a lot more to cover. But she's a really, really cool, strong female character, which even in terms of like 2009 video games isn't a super big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really like her, especially like in Renaissance Italy, in the time setting, stuff like that. She's the type of person who knows the limits of what she can accomplish due to her gender and stand, like social standing, but kind of rises above it. You know, she is the owner of a brothel, and, you know, you can get into kind of the ethics of, you know, prostitution and stuff like that. But again, looking at the historical aspect of it, that's kind of the best you can get as a female. And, you know, like, she herself, like, she is basically a little CEO, which not too many of those, that, like, not too many female CEOs in that time. And, like, that's pretty much the only way to do it. And so she's done that. She's risen above it and has built a pretty good life for herself and for the people in her employment. I mean, again, like, it's not necessarily ideal, but for the time, you know, that's pretty much as good as it gets. And so she's a very strong female character that you can really get in and dissect a whole lot more. But at the end of the day, you know, like, I really, really love Paola, and she really extends a hand out here.
Yeah, she teaches you some good shit.
Teaching you the ropes, yeah. So you learn how to blend and then steal.
Yeah, the blend system, I forgot how good that system was.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty, like, it's still like, I'm like, oh, I forgot. You just kind of walk in the crowd, and you just kind of need to blend.
I've been trying to deduce whether I like the automatic blend versus the button press blend.
I've been thinking the same thing, actually. I've been like, I kind of like the, because I thought one of the games was you have to hold a button to blend, or is that the first one?
So the first one you don't actually have to hold. It'll it's kind of like an auto thing.
Yeah,
you'll press and then it'll just kind of stay that way until you break it.
I remember holding like a.
Maybe, I don't, there could be one of them, it's been too long, but, because the thing about the auto is that it doesn't always like to work when you're towards the tail end. There were definitely times where, like, I would try to, like, quickly blend, and it couldn't tell if I was doing it a lot. If you actually make it a, like, button command, then it makes it very clear cut what you're trying to do, and so now you're basically relying on the game to assume what you're trying to do. And so because of that, it can be a little more finicky because of that. But, I mean, I understand the vision of what they were trying to accomplish. And, you know, like, I just think there are a couple areas that are a little but I think going to the part where there's probably going to be more NPCs, it'll be a little more open. I think it'll get a lot better.
Yeah.
But I was a little iffy on it at the start.
I didn't, I felt like, is four people what you need to be able to blend, or is it five?
I didn't get into the nitty gritty of that.
Because I was like, I felt like I kept getting in the crowds like of four, and I was like, this should be enough, right? And I wasn't blending, and I was like, this is annoying, or like maybe the crowd wasn't the right shape or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't working for me for a little bit. Not for some of them.
Right. So yeah, that aspect of it, I'm not sure if I'm completely 100% sold on yet, but I don't remember really having any issues with it in the past, so I think. You know, once we get past that kind of tutorialized section and the game opens up a little bit more, it'll get a lot better and be a little more useful. But yeah, it was an interesting change to go, you know, from actually like having it be an input from you versus being something automatic. But yeah, that's the whole thing. You learn how to steal, which is a little bit easier than the first
game.
Way
too easy.
Yeah. No, I just be ripping off people left and right.
Like, I don't know if it's the way computer works, but, like, I'll be, like, stealing, and I'll just go... Like, it'll steal so fast. Like, what's going on? Just,
ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, you know, it's fun. You know, you're going around. But, basically, the last thing that Paola does is she sends you... back to Leonardo to fix his father's blade.
Your boy Da Vinci.
And my girlfriend was actually around while I was playing this section. And when she found out that Leonardo Da Vinci was in the game, she got really excited. Because she wasn't paying attention when I was playing the first sequence. Was just kind of off, like, reading. But this time she was kind of, like, offhand, like, looking at, like, the cutscenes and stuff. And when she heard of Leonardo, she perked up and then started, like, paying attention. And it was really funny. Little side tangent, but, yeah, so sends you to Leonardo. So it is canon that Leonardo da Vinci, you know, knows how to work an assassin's blade. Fun fact.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and there's like a whole funny scene. It's another like, which,
well,
you know, compared to the like, kind of like, I don't want to say lackluster story because I still enjoy the story of the first game, but there's a lot of really memorable moments, I think, in the cutscenes in Assassin's Creed 2. You know, there's the, you know, besides vaginas, infamous quote from the first sequence. And now we've got Leonardo goofing on Ezio, saying he's got to cut his finger off for the blade to work, just to be like, nah, I fixed it.
Yeah, I get it.
You don't have to do that anymore.
This might happen. I don't know if this is for all platforms, but... I did find some stuff online that happened to me. Sometimes you have to restart your game. Because, like, for me, I didn't have the waypoint to get to Leonardo. I was, like, just trying to, like, wander around for, like, 10 minutes. I'm like, where do I go? I was so confused. And I started doing some research to just restart the game, and it should work.
Interesting.
Did that for me, at least.
Yeah, I didn't have any issues. But also, we are technically playing two completely different games, which I don't believe I went over last week. But he is playing on PC. I am playing on Xbox through the Ezio Collection. So I'm actually playing the remaster, which I know some people had some issues with, because the textures, which I believe is especially present in Assassin's Creed 2, are kind of wonky. Like, it's difficult to describe, but, like, they smoothed over a lot of the textures to try to make it look modern and less, like, blocky. And because of that, it just looks like you're playing a YouTube video almost. Like, it's very compressed, and, like, you can very obviously tell that they rushed this out and tried to smooth it over very, like, it was a very shitty, like, remaster job that they tried to do. It was, you know, not, like, very low effort, not really trying to do a whole lot with it. It felt like they were just trying to, like, change the shading and, again, smooth over textures versus actually going in and enhancing it in any meaningful way. And so, yeah, it got a lot of flack. But, like, you know, gameplay-wise, it's the exact same with now the added benefit of 60 FPS. So, you know, like, it's still a win at the end of the day in my eyes. I'm not too much of a stickler in terms of quality. I'll always, you know, like, be happy to see improved resolution and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's gameplay and performance that matter the most to me. So I don't really care too much. But yeah, there's definitely some iffy stuff about the Ezio Collection. But that's what I'm playing on. And so, yeah, I'll be on Xbox for the foreseeable future. I do think once we get to, like, the PS4 era, that might change and I might hop over to PlayStation. But for the time being, I'm feeling pretty comfortable on Xbox.
I will be on computer the whole time. So, yep, all the problems probably have to be happening on me.
He says, until we get to Assassin's Creed Unity, because this boy needs to play the co-op with me, and that shit don't got cross-play, but I have plans for that. That's a ways away, though, especially for us.
Yeah, that's like down the road.
Down that road. But, anywho, yeah, so, you know, that's a whole, like, really fun scene. I love Leonardo in the Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah, I love how, because he, like, he sits there and his, like, little autism brain catches the, like, site, like, the code. He's like, oh, stop. It's like, puzzle.
Yup. And so, you know, fixes it up for it.
Falls asleep.
Yep. Because one of the things before this podcast, we were talking about, like, not having a sword anymore. Because at the end of the first sequence, your sword is knocked away by, I believe, one of the guards, if I'm remembering correctly, at the hanging. Sprint. Yeah, and you just kind of run off. So you don't have a sword anymore. So now this hidden blade has become your only weapon beyond your fists.
And it's a little harder to use. The timing's a lot tighter if you want to counter.
Yes, true. But it is very sick.
It's very sick if you get it down.
Yes. And like I said, like, being an assassin, I do kind of want to try to prioritize the blade as much as I can and just be a little... And, you know, it's fun. But, yeah, real good time. And then at this point was then when I found my first glyph. And so I did want to kind of explain this a little bit. Lucas did not encounter any glyphs as of yet, but essentially, Subject 16 left 20 pieces of code revealing some hidden truth about the world we know, and each requires a puzzle to be solved in order to unlock a passcode that gives that little snippet of information. And so I really like these. They're really fun because you have to activate Eagle Vision to find the glyph in the area. And then once you do, you kind of hone in on it, and it kind of, like, breaks the animus a little bit and starts getting into all this stuff where you have to solve this code about, like, finding apples of Eden throughout history. Mm. And it's really fun. They're really cool little mini games that kind of start unlocking, like, literally, like, 1 second of footage of a thing, and you got to collect all 20. So it's like 20 seconds of footage that are just spliced out. And so, you know, you don't really understand much going in, but the further you go down, which I don't remember if I've gotten all 20 before. I remember these mini games, and I do think I got a fair bit, but I don't remember if I ever actually got all of them. I might have, because I do remember, originally beating the game, and I think I did go through and do all the side stuff. I don't think I ever collected all the feathers. I've never 100%ed this game, but I think I did end up doing all the content because of how much I loved it. So I might have, but I know I was pretty close if I didn't do it all. And I do know what the end thing is, but yeah, it's a fun time, and it's a cool little side content. But yeah, so you know, like I said, Leonardo fixes Ezio's blade. But then a guard comes
to... Knocks on that door.
Yeah, guard comes to question Leonardo about Ezio's whereabouts, and basically starts beating the shit out of him. Yeah, starts doing some abuse.
Leonardo was apparently not a fighter.
Yeah, you know, he's an artiste. But this gives us the opportunity to try out our hidden blade and pull off a little fishing and do our first official assassination.
Yeah, with the blade and everything.
Yeah, so get to try that out. And then Ezio, you know, is like, all right, well, peace. And goes back to Paola, who tells him exactly where Uberto is. He's going to this art show in Santa Croce.
She's like, you're ready, and it's happening right now.
Yeah, and so, well, I think, because the way the missions are structured, it's one of those things where, like, as soon as you start a mission, it'll automatically change the time of day to that time. Like, it'll flash forward. And so they're the concept of time in this game is a little wonky. But, yeah, it's because I think, like, officially, like, the art show was, like, the next day from that conversation. It's just, like, it'll flash forward any bad time, you know, any downtime, all that. And so then it's time to get into it. It's time to, you know, go crazy. Go stupid.
Fucking fuck that guy.
Yeah, so going over to the art show, it's a pretty cut and dry assassination. I mean, you do have a few ways to get into it. At this point, you can now hire courtesans as well as... I'm trying to remember. Do you know remember the official name for those, like, those guys, if they're thieves or... shit, I don't know, but there are these guys you can also hire. Mercenaries? They might be mercenaries.
I think it's mercenaries.
But I usually will hire courtesans to follow you on, because you can blend with them, and then if you run into any guards, they will distract them and lure them away. So I use them so I could get into the building. And then
you did the front door with the big boy knight sitting there?
Yep. So I just like that, strolled right on in while the courtesans were grabbing their dicks.
Yeah, I kind of was listening to the conversation, and then, like, I came out of my blend on accident, and then, like, he saw me, so I was like, oh, I didn't get to finish the rest of that dialogue. And I just walked up to him and stabbed him.
Well, I just thought that I could, like, sneak up behind him. I wasn't blending or anything like that, because I was already in. There weren't any guards around, and so I just strolled up behind him. But the second I got within 10 feet of him, he all of a sudden turns around stomping up and was like, ugh! And I was like, well, that sucks, so I'm like, fuck it.
Just, yeah, that's kind of what I did. I was like, well, he knows I'm here. Stab.
Yeah, literally.
Well, like, I mean, it was more than a stab. It was like, stab, stab, stab,
yeah,
stab.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Ezio is a brand new assassin. He's not Altair.
And he was a little angry. I mean, that guy did get his, you know, entire, well, not entire family, but most of his family killed.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, which, again, like, truly showing off, like, the juxtaposition between Ezio and Altair about how different they are. Altair is a seasoned assassin. Ezio has no idea about anything with the Assassin's Order. He's just simply a guy whose family has been slaughtered, and now he is out for revenge.
Yeah, like, he takes his, like, he doesn't even know, like, what just cutting his finger off means.
Exactly. And so, you know, he goes and, yeah, basically kills them off. And he makes this huge proclamation. He's not really slick about it. He tells people that the Auditores live on. And, you know, just kind of like, yeah.
He yells. He's like, I'm fucking Ezio Auditore. And I'm here, bitches.
Yep. And then goes and runs off.
Yeah. I had those two big guards, like, run back in immediately. And they, like,
like did like a pincer maneuver on me. I didn't know where to like run. They like, came in from both sides, and I was like, oh shit. And they were just chasing me forever, and I was like freaking out because I was just being chased by these big ass guards. I was not about to fight them without my sword.
So I actually conveniently explored this area before this mission because there was a chest inside. And so I was aware of kind of like this lead up in there to like parkour off of to get up to the roof. So I just immediately took that. I wasn't going back out the front
door. Yeah, I ran out the front door. I was like, oh shit. Literally, I was scared. Like, oh.
Yeah, I just parkoured my way up to the ceiling and then, you know, dipped in with the rooftops. And so, yeah, that was my kind of way. But you go back to Paola, ready to get out of Firenze. But Paola also recommends removing wanted posters, bribing heralds, or killing corrupt officials first to lower your notoriety, which introduces a new system that was not in the first game. So, you know, in the first game, it was kind of like, go to a city, you know, kill this person, and then after you kill this person, you know, the place is on high alert.
Yeah.
Now, it's a little more nuanced. You know, you gain notoriety for doing things, and you can lower that notoriety by essentially making, like, yourself less noticeable. So, like I say, you can take down wanted posters so people don't know what you look like. You can bribe some heralds to kind of essentially stop talking about you. And then, you know, there are corrupt officials that are, like, putting a lot of these, like, people in charge of guards and stuff that you can just off.
Stab.
Yeah. And so different things do to, like, the wanted posters don't lower your notoriety all that much. Killing these officials will lower it a lot. So, you know, different things have different effects.
Yeah. Or you can just, you know, walk around and say, fuck you guys, I'm going to stab you.
Yeah, exactly. there's all kinds of stuff you can do.
Not in this mission. You have to actually get it down in this mission.
Yeah, true. But, you know, yeah. So there's all kinds of different stuff you can do, but introducing a new system to the game as well as franchise. And so returning once again to Paola, you collect your family where Claudia finds out about their father and brothers dying because Ezio didn't say anything. You know, they've kind of been locked away this whole time. And so does not receive it well. Mm-hmm. Maria is still in shock, so she's just kind of...
She's not really saying anything.
Yeah, not really doing much. And they prepare to be escorted to Monteregioni, to the family estate.
And then you literally just run.
Yep.
just run out run to the gate.
Pretty much, yeah. And so you're off. We have left Florence. We're going to the estate.
Oh, hold on. This is, like, all the way back up when you kill the body, or when you kill that guard.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, eventually he's like, just put him with the rest of my bodies. And then, like, you just, like, carry this guard body and, like, walk around the corner in this, like, populated area. Just walk through his front door with this whole-ass body.
That's true. I forgot about that part. Because I always took it as, like, yeah, nothing to see here. Bro, just had a few too many drinks. Oh, look at this party animal over here. You know?
Sorry, yeah. I just saw that note and I had to say something.
That's true. That's a fair point. Because I literally, like, the same thing. Because, again, like, my girlfriend was kind of watching me. So I was providing, like, a little commentary as I was going. And so, yeah, literally just the whole thing of, like, carrying a dead body, like, in full public.
It's around the corner of the front door.
Yeah.
No back door or anything. Yeah, I thought that, like, it's, like, right there. Like, you kill me, you couldn't just put a door there. Like, yeah, just put him in the back.
Yeah, exactly. Like, imagine carrying a police officer out in public with, like, a blood-stained chest and just being like,
there's nothing to see here.
Like, crazy stuff. But,
wow.
Yeah, you know. Kind of crazy, but in terms of just different side stuff, outside of the glyphs, I didn't really do anything. I think I might have found like one feather. I think I've only got like four so far, but you know, there's a couple more things to open up. I bought a map to the Santa Maria area, got a few chests, nothing too crazy. Got a bunch of dyes because you can now dye your suit if you didn't have that bonus skin. And so that leads to this week's trivia question, which is, what is the most expensive dye in Florence? What is the most expensive one that you can get? Name it down in the comments below. This one, Lucas was unable to get. It's a little bit more of a toughie. This is one for my people that got the shmoneys, because I have it. It's my currently equipped dye, just throwing it out there.
Wow.
Because I'm bougie like that. You also gain access to an armor upgrade, which I'm currently still saving up for. I don't have that much money because I have been throwing some money around.
You were just talking about how rich you were.
Listen, I'm rich, but I'm not that rich. I'm upper middle class, okay? But so we're still grinding for that one, but. Yeah, because I spent all my money on dyes, man, which is kind of dumb, to be fair, because when you buy a dye, you don't keep it. It just, that's how much you spend to dye the clothes. And so I spent it in pretty rapid succession getting the dyes, and I was like, that was kind of a waste of money, but whatever. You know what? I wanted to experience the game, okay?
I want to look pretty.
Exactly. And so I'm very pretty looking. What can I say?
I'm still rocking the OG attire, mostly because I just haven't run around and done stuff. But
yeah, that's fair.
I plan to do some exploration this next week.
Just what he said last week.
Yeah, but I'm not that busy this week, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, let's just say it's hopefully going to be the case for the next time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that about wraps up the main kind of part of the thing. But if I remember correctly, before we go, I believe over the last week, everything kind of blends together sometimes. I think we got a new Assassin's Creed feature for Assassin's Creed Shadows. And so I'm looking it up here real quick because I realized it kind of halfway through the podcast that was a thing that potentially happened. But essentially I talked about this in some of the prior episodes about these, kind of features that Assassin's Creed Shadows has been doing, leading up to launch. I clicked on the Wikipedia article twice, even though I was trying to get to the main website. But they originally talked about, that's cool. Sorry. I'm rediscovering stuff. They originally did a thing on stealth, then they did combat, and then just fairly recently they did a parkour overview, and then they recently finished it. Yes, I think it was like right when the last week's episode dropped, they did an exploration overview and revealed a lot of interesting stuff. So like I said, this game is right around the corner. It was supposed to come out next month, but then it got delayed to March, and so we're pretty close here now. But they started talking about the world map, viewpoints, a lot of stuff that we've seen in previous Assassin's Creed. But it's a little more nuanced now. You know, they've talked about like safe houses called Kakurega, basically. So this was the first time they kind of hinted at it earlier, but they are talking about a lot of similar things that were introduced in Valhalla of kind of having a base with people that you kind of like build up and you kind of expand to take over England. That same, like some of those same concepts are coming back for Shadows. And basically you have a hideout, which is a central home base that's fully customizable. And you can kind of expand that through safe houses. And they'll be like small extensions where you can refuel all of your resources, access your gear stash, manage and accept contracts, and you can replenish scouts. And so scouts are a whole new thing where people kind of join your league and they can locate quest objectives, gather resources, and even cover your tracks by resetting provincial alerts, which provincial alerts in the game are like, it's kind of like a notoriety system where, you know, people will be more aware of you and stuff like that. Scouts can help lower that. And so kind of a little bit of a return of some stuff from like Brotherhood and Revelations where you have, you know, some fellow assassins to help you out a little bit. This way you have scouts that'll go. You can also use scouts to uncover parts of the world map for you.
Well, that's kind of nice. I mean, there are scouts. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. But
they do be scouting.
Yeah, it's pretty, pretty cool. And so all kinds of different stuff that you can go there. But yeah, and this is like the last of their big features. You know, this thing was kind of scheduled out to get done close to release because at this point it would have been a month before launch. Now there's kind of an extra month. So I'm curious to see what the marketing rollout looks like for the next couple months now, as there's now an extra month that needs to be done. And so I'm curious if it's going to be a little more spread out now, because again, we talked about this last week with how, like, I'm not 100% positive whether this delay was, like, is all that useful, because it very much seems like they're still trying to get it out in this fiscal year, but the delay makes it seem like it's not going to be ready. But who knows? But next week will be actually very exciting to talk about, because a bunch of creators got to preview the game and actually get hands-on with it. And some people have already kind of come out and hinted that they had a really good time with it. But those types of things usually tend to be from the more positive people anyway. So I'm going to kind of reserve judgment until we hear back, which is supposed to be on the 23rd, is when we will get impressions of the game released to the general public. But I'm very excited to see how those turn out. We'll be able to talk about that next week and kind of see people getting some hands-on time, actual people not paid by Nintendo, or not Nintendo, Ubisoft. Nintendo. we'll actually get to see a little bit more of that, and hopefully, you know, get more of a grasp for what this game is that isn't just pure Ubisoft marketing. And so, like I said, I'm very excited. I'll be there day one, but it'll be interesting to kind of see how this all plays out. But yeah. Anyway, like I said, this was a bit of a shorter sequence. So do you have any like general thoughts? We're now like a couple hours into the game. How are you feeling?
Well, I honestly, like, I played this game so much that like the controls are just like so natural to me. Like, I don't have to really think about it. And that just feels good. Just to be able to slice and dice people. Like, because even, like, the Assassin's Blade, like, I messed up a couple times because, like I said, the counter timing is, like, way tighter. But when you get that down, you're just, like, you feel like an assassin. You're like, pshaw, pshaw.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. It's sick. And especially because, like I said, the first Assassin's Creed game, when I first played it through, I was using the sword 90% of the time. And, you know, like, through Resync, you know, I experimented with different play styles and using different weapons. And I'm trying to do the same thing here. And so, yeah, that Hidden Blade combat is so much fun. And now,
way better than the first game.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, you have a lot more fun with the combat. You know, obviously, there is more nuance here because we'll get into it later. But you start seeing, like, more advanced enemy types that I know if I tried to use a Hidden Blade with, it would be like catastrophic. And so, like, there are very good use cases for the sword. Yeah. But I do want to try to rely on other weapons for combat and not just be like strictly sword like I was back in the day. And so I'm very excited to get into it fully, because like I said, like the first sequence was very much like a story setup, getting into the exposition of the game, getting things set up. This second sequence was kind of a tutorial sequence in terms of learning assassin concepts. And so I'm very excited to really start getting into the game proper and letting it open up more and letting us really play with this stuff that we've now learned. It's very exciting time.
It's super exciting. And then you get to see Ezio start to become pretty good assassin.
Yeah,
because he's not a master yet,
but very excited to see all of that unfold. Like I said, it's my favorite Assassin's Creed game. It's yeah. The best one. I mean, this is it. This is prime Assassin's Creed right here.
The story is so good. Ezio is just full of riz.
Oh yeah, the riz master. Which again, like, for an assassin, like, something you don't need at all. No. And to see this just charismatic, very outgoing person, you know, slink into the shadows, there is just a very huge theme of juxtaposition throughout this game, and in both comparing it to the first and its story beats and gameplay and everything, there's a lot of flipping it on its head, both advancing and switching things up in really interesting and unique ways.
Yeah, and I did like, because, like, the second sequence, you got to see a lot darker side of Ezio, because, like, in the first sequence, he's all giggly and hanging out with his brother, and, like, you get in a fist fight, and it's, you know, all fun and games. But it's, you start to see, like, oh, this man's out for blood. Mm-hmm. he's switching his tune.
Exactly. Which, I mean, the events of these first two sequences all happen pretty quickly. And so I'm very excited to get into the third sequence, because this is kind of then that point of now seemingly, like, this is a time of rest. Like, okay, like, Ezio's kind of running off of adrenaline for a lot of sequence too, because, you know, his family just died. He wants revenge. He's bloodthirsty, all that. Well, that's done. Now it's, you know, what do we do now? And so kind of seeing that narratively getting into sequence three, the introduction of a very cool character.
Very cool. Very cool.
Lots of fun times. But we will get into all of that next week. Thank you all so much for watching, listening, however you're doing it. Like I said, remember to go over to our Patreon. Go and be a member. It's a fun time. Like I said, we've got free and paid tiers for whatever you're looking for, but that'll be our main communication hub. You can get this a day early if you are in the initiate tier, as well as some extra goodies. Next week, we're actually going to have a bonus episode up on there for our initiate subscribers. And so, yeah you guys might get a little double dose of content, but only if you guys are subscribed. So, like I said, check out the Patreon. Go over to all of our other stuff. See what we're doing there. Lucas, you got any final thoughts?
Nope. I'm excited.
Yeah.
That's good times. That's my final thoughts. Excitement.
But we'll see you guys next time. And remember, nothing is true. Everything is permitted. Peace out.